It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only podcast that talks about our League of Record. Chief, how you doing tonight?
Chief is doing okay. Got some laundry going at the moment. Caught a few minutes here to, you know, we haven't done one of these in a while here, Chaz. We've been slacking a little bit.
So we
I'm glad we're able to get back on this.
Yeah, you know what? And that's partly my fault. I just, the past couple weeks have been crazy with work, and I haven't even texted you about doing it. And just timing wise, I guess that doesn't really work. But we're back. You know, we definitely want to make sure we're doing this as consistently as we can. There's a lot that's happened in the past few weeks for us to talk about. And obviously, as we approach the next couple of weeks, these final 2 weeks of the regular season, you know, there's still a lot up in the air in terms of what's going to happen for playoffs. So I think the first thing we should talk about is, I think, probably the most important thing that I want to talk about tonight, which is that Gelch has been eliminated from playoffs. Thank God.
Yes, by my rudimentary math, I don't think that Gelch can catch seven teams in the league before the end of the season, which would make him ineligible for the playoffs. And Chaz was very happy when I texted him that earlier today. So no Gelch in the playoffs this year. Pat Mahomes quenched or squelched his last chance last night by getting 30 plus points. And
yeah, what a gleeful game to watch, you know, because I was looking at that matchup. I said, oh, wow, you know, he's only down 30 points. And I'm like, oh, he's got Mahomes left. You know, I'm like, if anyone's going to be able to do this, it's going to be Mahomes. And, of course, he does. Six games, touchdowns. I mean, there's only been – I think Ben Roethlisberger is like, the only other guy that's ever had, like, multiple six-touchdown games in the same season.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
What I'm really curious is this just a fluke in that, you know, Mahomes is new to the league. You know, he's still benefiting from the new QB – not enough film on him, or is he just that much of a talent? Is the play calling? Is it just everything? I mean, these are video game numbers he's been putting up. So what is the root cause of it? Because obviously,
I think he's coming along at the right time. I think it's a perfect mix of circumstances. It's the right coach. He's the right kind of quarterback for the modern NFL, where they've laxed the rules for offenses to score more points. Whether it be in QB hits or with receivers, you know, in contact at the line of scrimmage and things like that. And, you know, honestly, it's just the weapons he has around him. It's everything. I don't know that, you know, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, that'll be the true test. Can he get through the playoffs? But I don't think it's a fluke. I mean, yeah. Maybe this is his best season that he ever has in terms of touchdowns, but do you doubt? I don't doubt that he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the NFL for a long time.
I mean, he has to be, right? And what's crazy is that, and I just had a point I wanted to make, and I can't remember it. What was my point? All right, we're going to have to move on. I'm sorry. My brain is not where it needs to be this week, I guess. I had
you pulled one of those on my Chatting with Chaz too.
I did, yeah. And I still could not ever figure out what it was that I wanted to talk about either. Here was it. It was that, you know, in the NFC, you've got the Rams, you've got the Saints. You know, those are your two, you know, just straight out dominant teams. In the AFC, you know, obviously it's the Chiefs. I don't know if there's a second team that if I looked at the board right now, I'd say, you know, obviously, the pick is to go Rams and Saints for the NFC Championship. For the AFC, it's Chiefs, and I don't know who else that could be. Maybe the Steelers? I don't know if there's anybody else that is capable of hanging in there.
I think the Steelers maybe have the firepower. Maybe, you know, the Chiefs, to me, as long as they hold on to home field. I don't think it would be a good thing for them if they lost home field and had to go into New England for the AFC title game potentially. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the season. Right now they're a game ahead of New England, but New England has a tiebreaker because they beat them.
Right.
So that's kind of something to watch for. And I believe Kansas City has to play San Diego at least one more time. And I could see San Diego maybe, you know, putting together a game that and could upset them. I don't know. But, yeah, there's a clear hierarchy in that the Rams, the Saints, and the Chiefs right now I think are just a cut above every other team.
Yep. All right. Well, that was a good discussion. Obviously, it's been a couple of weeks since we did this. A lot's happened, both in terms of the matchups. I know one of the things we want to talk about were some of the trades that have happened as people have started to jockey for position. For a postseason run. Obviously, I've been I think two of the three big trades that have happened in my trading away David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
You know, for me, obviously this season, as soon as Bell didn't report week one, the chances for me having a great season were very low. Both right. Zeke and DJ didn't perform at the high level that I needed them to even make it give me a shot. And for a while there, it wasn't even worth the trades because I had people offering me trades that I felt were a little unfair. And so, you know, I got to a point in the season where like, I know I'm done. I know I'm out. I may as well just have some fun. I'll go all in. And what's funny is that I ended up with two players that I actually targeted for trades earlier in the season. I actually had tried to make that trade I did with Mink, with O'Brien. I actually had tried finagling getting a double trade going, one with Mancuso and one with O'Brien. For Diggs and Thielen, but what I was trying to do is get them both to send me the offer, so that way I could get both offers and trade both of those guys out in one fell swoop. I still ended up getting it. It just took 2 or 3 weeks later for it to happen. But I figured, why not? I mean, I was, why not have some fun with it? I was all in on Cousins, and you know what? I'm going to be watching every Vikes game now, because why not? Because that's going to be the majority of my offense. And right. And they have another Sunday night matchup against the Packers this week. So, this week, I think this past week, they gave me 50-something points. So that wasn't too shabby. So why not? It's a little bit of an even playing field now, I think, giving away DJ and Zeke. In terms of that division, I do apologize for the rest of the playoff runs for everybody else.
I don't think there was anything wrong. I think it's only a problem if the trades are bad.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Or if they're uneven. I didn't really have any. The only issue I had was because Diggs was hurt and I didn't know if he was going to be out. So it was like, oh, Joe Mancuso's unloading Stephon Diggs right as he's about to get banged up for the rest of the season. That was my only concern with that one.
Yeah, that was fair. That was a concern. I mean, we had been talking before that news came out, and we kind of said, you know, if something happens with him, he'll throw me a little bit extra to make it right, which he did, you know, with Ito Smith. So that's the $3. So that works. So, I mean, in the end of the day, it's like I said, it's just, you know, I wanted to make the trade.
The Zeke trade was more than fair. That was fine.
Yeah,
that's the only issue I would ever have is like,
yeah.
If you're making the trades and it's like you're taking, you know, a really lopsided trade just because you want to shake things up or because you might want to give somebody
an edge,
a running back. That's where I would have an issue.
100% agree. I would never do that to the league. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how things play out. I think the other big trade was Johnny's trade with you, which, I mean, how do you reconcile? You've got, what, four different players on both sides. How do you
I don't know how that, it was a very interesting talk. I forget where it started. I'd have to go back with my text message with Johnny. It did not start as a four player for four player deal. Some of that was just like filler at the end of it. Like DJ Moore and Jeff Heuerman or Heuerman, however you say his name, were just filler on my end. We had talked about like him wanting an upgrade at receiver. So he came to me And I don't think he was that sold on his running back situation. He did not offer me Ingram initially. He offered me who are the other running backs on his team? Off the top of my head, I can't think of it.
Your Barkley, Howard.
Let me look at his team really quickly here.
Elijah McGuire.
Howard. I think Howard was what we had discussed. He gauged my interest in Howard, and I said, I'm not that interested in him.
Yeah, he tried pawning Howard off on me and Kat as well.
Yeah, I was not overly thrilled with Howard. And I don't think he did anything this week, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
He did not.
Okay. So, yeah, that was the initial offering. It was like Howard and one of his receivers, like Tyler Boyd, for I think it was Robert Woods. And I said, well, I don't really like Howard. I'd rather have Woods and whatever else is in my lineup. And then he came back with, well, what if I started talking about Ingram? And I said, I'm listening. and at that point he wanted, I think it was Ingram and Boyd for Odell or DeAndre Hopkins. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, I will do it for Robert Woods if you want Robert Woods, but I'm not going to do it for Odell or DeAndre. To me, Robert Woods is like a fringe 1/low 2 or high 2 receiver.
Right.
But Odell and DeAndre are elite number 1 receivers. So I said, no. We went back and forth. We actually had settled on a preliminary deal, Ingram and Marvin Jones for Robert Woods.
Hmm.
And so we had kind of a handshake agreement, but like Johnny was going to go out and start looking for other offers.
Right.
Just in case, to see. And I said, okay, well, I'm here. You know, if you don't really find anything else, and I said, and if you do find something else, give me a chance to match it or come over the top. So he went out, he didn't really get anything anywhere. I think he talked to Goop and Kat about certain deals. He didn't really get anywhere. He came back to me, but in the interim, Marvin Jones was ruled out of last week's game.
Right.
So that changed the dynamic of our deal. And I think we both still wanted to shake things up in light of the trades that were made. So he was willing to do Ingram and Boyd for Woods, but he also wanted Kittle and he would give me, you know, my tight end of choice from his roster. So Jared Cook is not terrible. In that sense, I like Kittle better than Cook. He's more consistent, but I also really like Mark Ingram.
Right.
And so I said, okay, Tyler Boyd has been productive. I could live with him as like my number 3 receiver. He's put up like wide receiver 2-ish numbers this year. So I could live with that, but I'm going to roll the dice on having Mark Ingram in my lineup, put Tyler Boyd in there and, He threw in, I said, can I have Evan Ingram too, since, you know, you're not going to use him either. So he threw in Ingram. He's like, yeah, just give me, you know, a depth receiver and Heuerman as a bye week fill in tight end. I said, fine. So the crux of that deal was Ingram, Cook, and Boyd for Woods and Kittle.
Gotcha.
That was the crux of it. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, it's always fascinating how a trade kind of comes together, right? Because,
right.
You know, I've been a part of trades this year where there was not necessarily a lot of back and forth, but there was a lot of time between. Like, the trade that I ended up doing with O'Brien was more or less the same trade framework we had talked about, like, 3 weeks prior, and we just didn't pull the trigger, or rather, O'Brien didn't pull the trigger. Whereas with Mancuso, it was basically, like, 1, 2, 3 – back and forth, and then it was, that
yeah,
was it. You know, so it's just funny, like, the people's makeup. I've been, obviously, I've taken to heart people's to an extent mockery of my trading offers. So I've tried last year and this year to be more cognizant of the offers that I was putting it. And again, you know, I always feel like I'm making offers out of fairness, and it's just what
the right
person agrees and where they kind of come from. But I don't, I guess I feel like I've made more trades. I've made more trades this year than I have, and maybe last year than I have, you know, all my other years combined, just based on people's willingness to deal with me. So I'm hoping what I'm doing is, you know, making a difference in terms of people willing to listen to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are always willing to listen as long as the offers are fair. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter who it is or where they start from. You know, I think you know, the exception of that was probably Gelch in the few years after the CMAL disaster.
Sure.
But I think as long as the offers come from a fair, or at least in the ballpark of fairness, then I think people are willing to entertain and listen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that Johnny thing, I think we originally started talking about that on Wednesday, and it came together Saturday night. It was a multi-day process to get that done. And I feel pretty good about it. I kind of like where my team is at. I also, another aspect of that trade for me was I was getting rid of Kittle and Woods' bye weeks.
Right. That's a good point.
So with players that have already been past their byes. So I think that probably nudged it over the top for me. I'm like, well, I need to win. And I have Joe O'Brien next week, and he's going to put up a lot of points, and I would have Woods on a bye. And so I need to try and take him down with a full lineup. So it's enabled
me
to
do that.
Well,
you know, it's interesting you say that, right? Because this week is basically it's two of the three highest scoring teams in the Chiefs and the Rams being on bye.
Yes.
And so, you know, the teams that have predominantly been doing really well this year in our league because those players now all of a sudden don't have those players. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens with the scoring if things more normalize, because obviously I think Joe had mentioned this, that this is like one of the highest scoring league years ever. So I'm curious to see if this week sort of normalizes with two of those three teams not being
right.
So with that, why don't we dive into matchups? Is there anybody in particular you want to look at first?
No, we can just go bit by bit. We can also talk about the overall playoff picture as well as we glance over some of these teams here.
All right. Well, you know, I'm looking at I'm going through the matchups. I'm trying to see, are there any matchups that basically don't matter?
Gelch versus his brother really doesn't matter. That's good
starting point. So Gelch versus his brother doesn't
Gelch
matter.
Gelch is a better team than Ryan. Gelch probably takes that one, but it doesn't matter because they're both out.
Yep, very true. In that same aspect, me versus Jake doesn't matter. I really would like to finish the year better than Gelch. I'm one win ahead of him now, so if I can, you know, Jake doesn't have Mahomes this week. Mm-hmm. If I can somehow beat him, there's no way I'm going to catch him, but at least then I'll be guaranteed to have a better finish than Gelch, assuming Gelch loses. Otherwise, I need to win if he wins, and then it comes down to
pride.
So
yeah.
For me, my whole year is going to be based on that week 13 matchup. I already lost in week 7, so I need to, avenge myself. But my matchup doesn't matter. So, matchups that could matter. Obviously, now we're looking at Mancuso versus Taco. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I'm looking at the projections right now. Mancuso doesn't have Kelsey this
right
week.
Or Cooks.
And so, you know, that's going to hurt his firepower a little bit. Does he even have another tight end?
No, he's going to have to pick someone up.
So he's going to pick somebody up. Also, don't forget, everyone, if you're listening, depending on when you're listening to this, you have to be down at 6 roster spots this week, right? Or did we extend that to next week?
I believe it's this week, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it was after Thanksgiving. Yeah. By Thursday. Mm-hmm. So you have to be down at 6. This is an interesting game because this is basically, I think, a must-win game for Taco based on the standings for him to be basically the 5th or maybe 6th place playoff spot. He needs the win.
He needs the win. He is currently out of the playoffs right now. I believe he's 7th. I'm 8th.
Okay.
Johnny jumped ahead of him after I beat Tim this week. So yeah, Tim needs this, and then he's got Joe O'Brien in week 13. So it's uphill sledding for Tim, uphill sledding for me too, for that matter.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible, but right now, Tim, I think, and I said this back in like week 4 or 5, even though Tim got off to a hot start, I did not think his team was playoff bound. And
I don't know who you're talking about.
I think it's playing out. Tim, I'm talking about.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Taco.
Sorry. Oh, Taco. Okay.
Apologies, Taco.
Yeah,
yes.
Taco. Yeah. So must win for him. Also, another I would say must win game. I would say is Goop, right? In order to secure a playoff spot.
Goop's actually in pretty good position right now. That win last night over Mike really helped their position. And
okay.
To me, I think that they are in a really good spot this week against Cat. Cat will not have Kareem Hunt.
But she gets Chubb back.
She's got some options, but I like Goop and kind of their firepower that they have. You know, I just like them better this week, especially with Hunt on bye
and Breeze
home. And if they win this week, they are in the playoffs.
There you go. So win and you're in for Goop.
Yeah, yeah.
Johnny, similar situation, right?
At least I believe Goop is in the playoffs. Joe can check me on that, but they'll be 7-4-1, and I think that would be pretty tough to miss at that point. Although, you know, if Johnny. I don't know. If Tim wins out and Johnny were to win out, then maybe Goop is left out. I don't know.
Right. Fair enough. Speaking of Johnny, he's playing Mike this week. You know, Mike's obviously in. I guess seeding maybe could matter for him, but he's in playoffs. So Johnny obviously.
Mike is battling now to maintain. He and Joe Mancuso are tied at 8-3. So they're duking out for the regular season title now. Joe, Brian, and Jake are a game behind them at 7-4. So there is, you know, for those top four teams, there still are seeding and bye implications on the line these last 2 weeks here. So they do have stuff to play for.
Yeah. And then lastly, you know, game is the most interesting. Mainly because I think you benefit the most from the major bye for the Chiefs and the Rams.
Yes,
O'Brien doesn't have Hill, and additionally,
he doesn't have Jared Goff.
Doesn't have Goff, and therefore he has to play Ben Roethlisberger, who is playing at Denver. And traditionally, we know that Roethlisberger is like nowhere near as good on the road.
Unless Joe outsources his QB, Jameis Winston is out there. You know, he did pick Winston up earlier in the season. I could see him maybe making a play for Winston as his QB this week. Potentially. Well,
what are you doing for QB?
I'm probably going to be in the mix for Winston, but I've also got a couple other streaming options out there. And I may swing a deal potentially before then.
Well, you got to stay tuned. You don't got a lot of time left to swing a deal.
I know. I got a day.
As far as choices for, I'm just trying to look at the QB list here. It's not a ton of people. You got basically got Dalton, you got Keenum, you got Stafford. I don't really know anybody else you'd want to even look at.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm not too worried about it. We'll see.
So yeah, so I mean, so basically, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you need to continue winning if you're vying for playoffs. You know, it's cool that it's not really fully decided yet, and probably won't be fully decided until week 13. It's always great when we have that. You know, if you remember at the beginning of the year where we had a couple teams going off where we thought, okay, playoff contention is going to be done early, and that hasn't been the case. That turned around a little bit.
It turned a little bit, but you know, you look at it and it's really the same teams that have been there since the beginning are still there. True. You know, Joe, Mike, Jake, Goop, and the one that we predicted to fall off, Taco, has fallen off. And you know, right now Johnny has that last spot. So you know, we'll see how it plays out. But actually, if you go back and listen to whatever it was, our week 4 or 5 podcast, we kind of predicted this might happen.
We did. That was a very good point. We'll have to go back. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to go back and write up all of our predictions and see how we turned out, I'd be really grateful for doing that. I'm not going to do it myself. I'd be really happy if somebody did that, because I'd just be curious. So we'll see how things go. Obviously, we have three games going on Thursday. So we're going to have a little bit of definition in terms of matchups early in the week, earlier than we normally would.
Especially with mine. I'm going to know kind of where I stand fairly early on Thursday, because Joe Brian fires a lot of major bullets on Thursday. Kamara, Elliott, and one of his receivers, Most Sanu, are all going on Thursday. So Thursday, I'll have Ingram going. So Thursday's going to be interesting in my matchup.
Yeah, very true. All right, so I think that wraps it up. Anything else you wanted to cover tonight?
I don't think so. I think we're good. I don't really have too much else to add. You said you wanted to do a continuation of our chat with Chaz at some point. I don't know when you might want to set that up. Not tonight, but...
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if I really meant... I was thinking more in terms of, like, another chat. A second chat. Like, I now have some topics that I would want to talk about for a second chat. We got the first one out. It's out there. So the next time we do, because at some point I'm gonna have to circle back around to some people.
Yes.
And so you'd be a really good natural fit for that. So I got some stuff. So I've been sort of keeping tabs on everyone, just kind of keeping up topics that I think would be interesting for a second day of chat if I already done chat with them. So we'll get back around probably at some point, maybe next year. But
that'll be fun.
I still nailed down.
Hopefully we can get everybody
through once.
The logistics of that is going
to
go.
That's the challenge. So we'll have to see. I'm doing some traveling for work, starting in the new year. So we'll see if any of those line up where people are, and we'll figure it out. But, thanks again for listening. Again, we apologize. We missed 2 weeks, but we promise we will be back here next week and the week after. And as we're looking into playoffs, we'll definitely be covering you all the way in. I might have to take a week off depending on baby. We're now on baby watch, basically. We're within like a 3 week window. So, could happen at any time. So we'll see. If that's the case, I have no doubt that Chief can handle an episode on his own, or maybe even bring back in a guest speaker with Manku. So I'm sure he'd love to do it again. So thanks everybody. And we'll see you next time on Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.